Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Premier Foods Quarter One Trading Update. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you the conference is being recorded today, Thursday the 23rd of July, 2015. And I'd now like to hand over to your speaker today, Gavin Darby. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning to you all. Thank you for your time, particularly on a very busy morning. Just a brief introduction from me to our first quarter trading before we open up, as usual, to questions. Obviously, I'm joined on the call by Alistair Murray, as you know, our Chief Financial Officer. So earlier today, we issued a trading statement for the first quarter of the financial year, and that covers the 13 weeks to the 4th of July, 2015. The headline would see our branded sales in the quarter declined by 1.4% and group sales down 1.6%. But I think the key thing behind that is that we are continuing to perform very well, in particular in terms of market share metrics. And we are seeing, as I'm happy to discuss, a strong performance in terms of category growth, particularly in the categories that we have been investing behind Kipling and Cadbury and Cake and Oxo, Abisto in flavorings and seasonings. So a strong correlation continues between where we're spending our investment money, our marketing money and innovation resources and growth. Probably a key point or an important point is that Easter moved from one quarter to other. Had Easter fallen in the quarter one as it did last year, then our branded sales would have been broadly flat. And if you look at a broadly flat performance in that regard against the trend of the last five quarters, then I think Premier continues to be on a strong direction in terms of recovery in terms of the top line. Importantly, we're seeing particularly good and positive trends in volume terms. Kipling and Cadbury's we discussed, but also Oxo, and in this quarter, Ambrosia, amongst others, performed well in the quarter. And there's been some comment, as you will know, about the return to volume growth in the industry, which is extremely important. We did see one drag from a brand that has been particularly strong in our portfolio, Lloyd Grossman. That was a drag on our performance, a negative drag in quarter one. But importantly, that was really very much and only to do with the phasing of promotions. We had less strong trade promotions in this quarter than the prior year, and you know, those resources are in place and the promotions are planned for quarters back later in the year. So it's just a question of phasing within the year. So we feel, particularly given the environment, that this is a creditable performance within our UK business. There's a lot of interest in our international business, and although you'll know that it is off a small base, but if you look at the first quarter in constant revenue, we have a slight headwind against the euro, then we'll see that we grew in constant revenue terms, constant currency, in high single digits. I qualify that by saying it's off a small base, but you know, it's encouraging given we see an interesting opportunity in the future. Moving on from the sales line, really, gross margins, you will most importantly have noted in our release, were flat year on year, which is a subject of much focus, I know, on for obvious reasons. And further down, we have continued to invest in our brands, and we will continue by advertising eight of our brands on TV in the year, and continue to guide to the fact we'll invest between 34 and 38 million in marketing in 15-16, which is a considerable step up. And that allows us to bring several new initiatives to the market in terms of NPD, Oxo Stock Pots, Lloyd Grossman Pan Melts, Sharwood's Stir Fry Melts, Cadbury Desserts, and coming up, Cadbury Hot Cakes and Cadbury Amaze Bites. Some of you will have seen those plans if you were with us in Carlton a few weeks ago. So we have an increasing, I would say, pipeline of new initiatives. And as we discussed most recently, we've effectively doubled the level of our innovation rate from being kind of behind the average of the market to being at least in line with our category. And we plan to go in the months going forward ahead of the average rate of innovation. So clearly we need to fund this, and our plan is to fund these investments in marketing and people, you know, from within our business. And we talked in particular about some important cost release projects, and probably the most high profile one of them is the one in our Stoke bakery, which accounts for an important part of our capital investment this year. But this is just one of several cost release projects which we see play now, which are expected to deliver paybacks of less than 3 years. With regard to our customers, we continue to feel confident about the much closer partnerships that we nowadays have, as reflected by the signing up of our JVPs and also the number of category captaincy roles that we have relative to the past. We also are encouraged by the opportunity from SKU rationalization. As many of you know, we initiated that within our own business in July 2013, and, you know, with a portfolio of strong brands and strong market positions, and having taken a lot of the kind of dead wood out of the tail, we feel, although of course we will lose some SKUs, will be the net beneficiary in the majority of cases, so we're excited by that. Moving to the future in terms of profitability, and most importantly, we've reiterated that we see our expectations for the full year as unchanged. I mean, clearly it's going to be a very important year in terms of reduction in net debt, and you're aware of that. You may also have noted in the RNS that we have reduced the size of our debtor securitization facility from 120 million to 80 million. I think some have already commented that that's, you know, that's just more evidence of Premier moving in a solid direction and leaving the past further behind. So in summary, I would say clearly with some qualification in terms of the environment, which is challenging, but I really do feel we have momentum. Personally, I think momentum is priceless in business, and when you have positive momentum, that is very helpful, and that's where we are. We'll continue on our strategy of investing in our brands with new product launches coming to the market, as I've described. I think our category management strategy, which was powerful when we launched it, is probably even more relevant today because of the trading environment of many of our most important customers. And so we continue to be encouraged by that. We will fund our investment from reducing our costs and continue, as I've said, with a very important year of reducing net debt. And so for all those reasons, I feel, and we feel, confident, very confident that we can create future value in this business. So with that as a background, if we can now go to Q&A, and Donna, if you could tell us how we're going to handle that.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. And your first question comes from the line of Karine Elias from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. This is Thierry Anid, actually. We had two questions, please. First one is on the branded trends, the improvement in trends sequentially over the past quarters. Can you give more color in terms of outlook on that in the coming quarters? And our second question is on the market share of cake flavorings and ambient desserts. If you can give us more color in terms of volume, price, and as well on the outlook on that, please. Thank you.
Could you just expand on the second question?
Yes, I was talking about the improvement in the market share in the cake flavorings and ambient desserts. If you can give us more color in terms of volumes and prices there, and as well on your outlook for the current and coming quarters, please.
Well, I think they're similar questions. As you rightly point out, if you plot the trend over the last five quarters, you see a very strong and positive trend, hence my reference to the word momentum. And so we see this quarter, if you adjust for Easter, as being effectively flat for our branded growth, and clearly we would like to do a little bit better than that. I think if you look at people's expectations is that they'd like to see Premier somewhere between flat and a little bit above flat by the end of the year, and I think that's in line with what we would like to deliver as well. I mean, we've got to your second point. We are getting a very strong correlation between where we're investing our resources and you know, where we're getting success. I think on the back of the RNS, you can see that you'll see that we have also got category growth in both those two big categories, which are fundamental to Premier's success. So we've got category growth in the kind of plus 2% range now for those two categories, in an environment where food price inflation is minus 2 or minus 3. So that's quite a big and positive divergence. And I think that really is about as far as I'm prepared to go in terms of forecasts for the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Clive Black from Shore Capital. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of short questions for me. Firstly, how do you consider the potential national living wage for your cost base?
Well, I think it's early days, but our initial analysis is that in the kind of short term, very, very little impact on Premier at all, based on analysing, you know, the terms and conditions of our 4,000 employees. We tend to pay well above what is today the, you know, what before we got to the concept of a living wage was the minimum wage. And you've seen, Clive, from some of your factory visits, we tend to move in the direction of more and more highly skilled people operating high technology, et cetera, et cetera. And a good example was in Carlton the other day, where all those 80 extra heads that we hired will be way well above all those rates. So I think in the short to middle term, we see no big impact. I think all companies are doing some modelling for, you know, what would the situation be in 2020, which is where I think one of the stakes was put in the ground in terms of what the rate would be at. Mm. So further out, frankly, Premier, like many other companies, are still doing some work, and you have to think about what are the impacts both on your lowest rates, but any impact you may have on, or knock-on impacts on wage rates and wage differentials above your lowest rates. But in the short to medium term, we don't see a big issue because of the nature of our workforce.
Okay. And then just trying to extrapolate one or two things from the first quarter into the remainder of the year, could you give any indication as to potential comparative distortions? I mean, you talked about Lloyd Grossman and it being impacted by promotional phasing in Q1. Yep. Are there discernible distortions coming up in the next quarter? And in relation to your marketing expenditure, of the 34 to 38 million, how far are you through that in terms of, was Q1 a particularly heavy quarter for you, or are you actually quite light or just at par for the course?
Well, yeah. I'll do the last one and then ask Alistair to do the harder one as usual. I would say it was slightly lighter. We were very heavy in marketing in the fifth quarter, if you recall, the previous quarter of this financial year. Mm-hmm. And so we've got quite a lot of marketing ammunition to fire.
Good.
And I think the answer, Clive, to your first question is, broadly speaking, no. The big thing that obviously does move around is Easter. Christmas will continue to be where Christmas always is. So I don't think there's going to be a big distortion from that.
But interestingly, in terms of opportunities, the change of the financial year, which was obviously very carefully considered, allows us to, you know, what will be our third quarter is a really important quarter in terms of sales, as we all know. But it's also a tremendous opportunity quarter for marketing. In terms of some of the marketing costs, particularly when you get towards the back end of that quarter, which typically, of course, Premier would have never been able to take advantage of, given A, its financial year end, and B, some of the, you know, challenges we had in those old days. So, you know, we are, with the change of financial year, able to align our marketing much better to sales opportunities than ever before.
I think Clive, the only point to add is that, of course, the end of December will now be a book month end and therefore be based on our book month date as opposed to a 31st of December, which is what it was previously. I haven't got our book months to hand, but it will be almost certainly after the 25th, and therefore all of the Christmas buy-in will effectively have taken place still in P9. So I don't think that's going to have much of an effect on it.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Martin Deboo from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Morning, chaps. You're maintaining your full-year profit and debt guidance. So on the profit line, I take it you're implicitly endorsing a consensus which is looking for pretty much flat trading profit year on year. I suppose the question to ask you is how you're thinking about the moving parts of profit, because you're telling us this morning that gross margins are flat. You've already told us that A&P will increase fairly significantly. So the obvious question to ask is, how do you think you could deliver consensus expectations? Is the gross margin profile going to change through the year? Are there offsetting cost savings or revenue offsets? Just how are you thinking about the moving parts of profit for the year?
I guess that one's going to come in my direction, Martin. So, I mean, obviously, we don't put formal guidance out there, but I guess what we're implicitly saying is that we're happy with the consensus. So the question is well-founded. I think our view on gross margins is pretty much as you expressed, which is that we would expect them to stay kind of in about the same place or flat year on year as we track through the rest of the year. The challenge that we have, therefore, as a business is to fund the increase in AMP, which our guidance is that figure would be between 1 and 5 million, and that guidance hasn't changed, and we need to find that through economies and efficiencies elsewhere in the business, and we've got a set of plans which we hope and expect will deliver that. And I think if you look at the size and scale of the business, and you look at some of the money that we're investing, for instance, in cost-saving projects within the factories and within the logistics network, then I think that looks an eminently realistic target.
Okay, it's helpful. Thanks for that, Alistair.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nicola Mallard from Investec. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a question really around the Easter impact. I know you sort of covered off Christmas a little bit there, but did all of the Easter impact fall in sweet treats? Because I'm just looking at the market data that you've provided, the IRI stuff, which obviously shows pretty strong growth across the 26 weeks. Just trying to sort of work that back as to why sweet treats was so flat. Was that all of Easter, or was there anything else that was negative within sweet treats that we need to be aware of?
The main factor within sweet treats was Easter. That predominantly arises in Cadbury, as you know, because particularly the movement of the seasonal range of chocolate products that we do for Easter. If you take the 1.5% that we've identified for Easter, probably about a quarter to a third of that, so say up to 0.5% of the 1.5%, would arise in grocery, and that's predominantly Bisto, which is essentially people buying gravy for their Easter lunch.
Okay. Okay, great, thank you.
Thank you, and our next question comes from Tom Gibney from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Morning. I just wonder, could you provide us an update in terms of the timeline of Tesco's range reviews and whether any other supermarkets have started similarly comprehensive reviews since you last spoke to us? I know it hasn't been long. And then also, could you give us an idea of how much, in percentage terms, the international growth contributed to your branded growth? And then lastly, you highlighted warm weather last year as a negative driver, and it's been a bit colder this year, in this quarter. Could you give us a sense of how much you think that may have helped to your sales in terms of comparing to last year?
I'll do the range review one. Well, Tesco are doing this in as I understand, in phases, and the first substantial phase will be... as I understand, in place by the end of August. There are indications that other retailers will move in this direction, but later in the year. And as I said in my introduction, I mean, net-net, I mean, everybody will lose some SKUs for sure. And, you know, net-net, we believe we'll lose less and we'll gain because the big brands and the faster-selling SKUs will have higher availability, more shelf presence, and, you know, net-net will, that will be a benefit.
So do you have a clear picture of what categories, which of your categories will be included in this first phase and at what stage they will be reviewed later?
I think it's becoming clearer, but this is very much kind of work in progress. I think that's about as far as one can go at the moment.
So are any of your categories included in this first phase?
Well, some will be for sure, absolutely for sure.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Shall I have a crack at the other two? I mean, to give you a, you know, what we told you is that international was up in high single digits. That is pretty much all branded. International's about 4% of sales, something like that. So if you multiply those two metrics together, you'll find it's moving it, you know, you'd probably conclude it's moving it 20 to 40 basis points. So that growth comes from international.
Okay.
In terms of weather, so I think the way the quarter worked, well, you know, we haven't pulled this out as a major factor, is the first thing to say. I think it was, generally speaking, a bit colder. However, we did have a very, very high temperature blip right at the end of the book month. Those people who were in Carlton going around the bakery will remember that. And obviously, that does have an impact as well, because people see this coming and affect sales. So we're not really identifying weather as being a major factor in this set of results.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Declan Morrissey from Davy. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gents. Just one question from me on grocery and just the promotional intensity in that category. You've highlighted your own campaigns around Bisto and Oxo previously and Lloyd Grossman to come, and just wondering if you're seeing a step up in the category promotional activity as well.
I would say the answer, Declan, is that other than Lloyd, which was reduced as I referred to, we would characterise promotional intensity as kind of at its usual high level, but flat, holding in line with prior quarters.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Sloan from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Just a question on the statement around net debt and expectations unchanged for a significant reduction this year. Are you able to quantify that at all? I think consensus is looking for around a 60 million debt reduction. Is that in line with your expectations? And then thinking about debt reduction over the medium term, obviously next year the pension payments, the contributions step up. Should we think about sort of ongoing net debt reduction as just kind of this year's level reduced by that step up in pension payments, or is there an opportunity to reduce capex or working capital to accelerate that free cash flow generation? Thanks.
Okay, well, I guess that's coming my way. I think the answer is we are happy with where consensus sits of about 60 million reduction in net debt, the figure you quote. I think we certainly feel that that is a sensible figure for people to have in their models. I think, broadly speaking, in terms of the medium-term question, your analysis is pretty much the right one, which is just adjust that by the change in the pension contributions, and that's all that was in our prelims deck. You've got all those numbers available to you. We certainly are working hard on working capital. We believe there are some opportunities to improve the way we manage that, particularly around inventory and receivables. Some of that, I think, candidly, is in this year's numbers. But we would continue to work on that as we go through into next year. There may be a bit more next year, but we're working pretty hard. We're not hanging around. We're working hard on trying to deliver some of that this year.
to try and get to a good net debt position by March.
Thanks, very helpful.
Thank
and,
you.
And I think sorry, the other thing that just might be worth saying on that, of course, is it's worth reflecting on the way our new calendar year, our new financial year works in terms of net debt. And what you will find of that net debt reduction is that that is disproportionately weighted into the second half, because, of course, that's our primary trading period, and that's when we disproportionately generate profit and cash flow. So I don't think people have necessarily half-year forecasts out there yet, but that's something I would just encourage people to think about.
Great.
Thank you once again. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad.
So, Donna, very good. It sounds like we know it's a very busy morning. That was obviously crystal clear. And so if there are no more questions, I think you should bring the call to a conclusion. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.